Blog Talk Radio.
There is God. He is alive and well, and he reigns supreme over everything. He is the God of all flesh. He is the God that created everything by the word of his power. And so we give God praise, and we give God honor, and we give God glory. Somebody raise up a praise and shake this place real quick. Yeah, yeah. Hallelujah. The song says,
there is love that is like no other. There is strength that'll pull you through. There is God standing in your corner. There is nothing, nothing he cannot do. There is grace that has no measure. There's mercy that has no end. There is life for you. There is joy in heaven. There is God. He's your closest friend. Everybody say,
tuning into the Next Chapter Widows Ministry Talk Show, a ministry embracing widows and others who have lost a special loved one. I am Mary Hollis, your host, and I'm so happy that you tuned in tonight. And we have a special guest that's going to be giving you a testimony and also telling you about her new book. So I am excited about her being a part of our show tonight. But I do have one announcement that I want to go ahead and announce at the very beginning, because most of our show is going to be all about our guest. This is the last talk show for until August. I mentioned to all of you before, and I want to remind you that the month of July is sabbatical month. We do not have any type of meeting, talk show, or anything going on. So we won't be back until the first Tuesday in August. And also, just remember that the third Saturday in August, we're going to get together. We're going to go to a restaurant. I'm going to try to find a restaurant that can fit a whole lot of us. So I'll be in touch with you before then. But no talk show or anything in the month of July. Sheila, my co-founder, and I need some time off, and also we're going to be doing a little bit of vacationing, and also in between talking about some things that we need to do going forward with the next chapter of Widows Ministry. Well, let me go ahead and begin and tell you a little bit about our guest tonight. Our guest name is Kathy Wells. Her life changed forever when her husband passed. She lost her loved one of 28 years. Her friendship and the life she had known. Kathy was caught between the life she knew and the life that awaited. Through a series of moaning miracles, she crossed over into a new life where she found wholesome peace and even a new love. Kathy will talk to us about her journey, but I also want to mention some more things about Kathy. She's a bestseller author. She's a certified hypnotherapist, master life coach. She also is a certified energy code master training and founder of Cat Wells International. Kathy Wells is featured in Turning Point Moments, true inspirational stories about creating a life that works for you. But I'm going to let her come on now. She's going to give you a testimony about herself and you know, about her husband, her deceased husband, as well as her new book. She has just published a new book, and she's going to tell us all about that. So, Kathy, it's all yours.
Thank you, Mary, and thanks so much for inviting me, and I'm really excited to be talking to your audience. It's a hard time when you've lost someone you dearly love, and even after 4 years, it makes me emotional, and that's okay. It's part of my message is that we have to allow ourselves to feel what we feel. And not feel like we have to shut it off to make others happy or so that we don't bother others. It's through our vulnerability that that we heal and allow others to help us. When we act as if we are so strong that we need no one's help, we often stay in the grief longer than we need to. And so I'm glad to be able to share some of the things that I've used over the last 4 years to move through the grief to a place where everything in my life has really turned around. And some of the things that I learned along the way in hopes that it will help someone else. You're not alone. You have, so many of us have gone through this and are going through this, and God is always with us, and Jesus is always with us, even if we don't feel the presence when we're grieving. When I talk about morning miracles, it's not the morning like the morning, afternoon, evening miracles. It's the grieving morning miracles, because what I discovered as I was moving through my grief was there were miracles all around me, but I couldn't see them in the beginning. And so I'll share a little bit about what happened with my husband. It took me a bit by surprise. As Mary said, we were together really 30 years. We were best friends first. And then we got married, and we were married 28 years, and we had really sold our business, and we were just starting to really spend a lot of time together enjoying things. My husband got up one day, went and played golf. We had no idea that that was going to be his last time to play. He went to play golf, came home, and had a stomach ache and found out that he had a ruptured appendix. The ruptured appendix caused sepsis, which infected his body, and they took him back to the hospital and they treated him for it. However, it was a bit too late. It got into his lungs and created fibroids and he couldn't breathe. So for 4 months, we struggled with trying to find find help, but they said that he had been diagnosed with pulmonary fibrosis, which there is no cure for or any real known reason yet. They're still trying to figure out what causes it. But basically, there's no cure, and the only way that you survive it is with a lung transplant. So once he was in the hospital, it was 4 months of preparation. You know, I won't go through all the details, but I was under tremendous stress. We had just bought a house that needed remodeling, and we were in the middle of remodeling. We were in the middle of building a pool. There was a lot of things going on in our life at the time, and so this happened right in the middle of all that. In fact, my book that hit number one bestseller before this book had just hit number one bestseller a couple of months before on our anniversary. When we were on vacation, I was so excited. And then 2 months later, my husband's in the hospital dying. And so needless to say, for the next 2 years after he didn't make it through the surgery, we went to the hospital. He was in the hospital. We got the call that he actually found him. They found a match. They found lungs that they said were viable. So they went into high gear. They flew to the location. All these doctors flew to the location. They harvested the organ, the lungs. They came back. They prepped my husband for surgery, and had him all ready to go in, and then all of a sudden the surgeon came into the hospital room and he had a look on his face, which I knew something had gone wrong. And he said that the lungs were no longer viable, that they wouldn't be able to do the surgery. So that took all the hope away that we had been carrying for 4 months. And it's interesting because sometimes I know we think at the moment I did too that, you know, we hoped and we prayed and things kept, and we thought it was going to all happen, and then it didn't. But all along the way, miracles happened. We weren't even supposed to be able to get into this program, but we did. We weren't even supposed to be able to get into this particular hospital that did these surgeries, but we did. There was all these doors that were opened all along the way, and our hope grew and grew, and yet it didn't end the way that we thought. But I have to remember, it ended the way it was meant to end. There's a reason for it all, and we can't always see it when we're in the middle of it. And so what happened was they had already shut off his immune system. They had already thinned his blood, and unfortunately, because they didn't do the surgery, he got all kinds of infections because they had shut off his immune system so that once they did the lung transplant, it wouldn't reject the lungs. So it was in a matter of a couple of days, he passed away. And it was the most difficult time of my life. I had already lost my mom, my three best friends, my brother-in-law and my another friend, all in a very short period of time, within like a three-year period of time. And, you know, I thought I knew what grief was after going through that. But the depth of pain that I felt when my husband passed, it just didn't feel like I would survive. It was something that's not comparable to any other kind of loss. And so so afterwards, I think for me the hardest thing was that I've always been the strong one, and now all of a sudden I just felt like I just had no hope for anything anymore. It was a scary feeling. And I like a quote by Desmond Tutu. I used it in my book, in my chapter. It says, hope is being able to see that there is light despite all the darkness. And I just kept asking God, why did we have all these miracles happen along the way if he wasn't going to survive? And I kept waiting for the answer, and it took a long time for me to hear it. And what I discovered is that life is always going to happen. We can't, none of this escapes life as a human without the bumps, the bruises, the challenges, the loss. It's always going to happen. It's who we become and who we are in those moments that shows who we truly are. It brings out who we truly are. We're loving human beings, and how we handle these situations will show those around us what faith looks like, what forgiveness looks like, and what surrender looks like. What I learned was not to surrender hope, but to surrender to God what we need help with and allow God to show us the way. And I know we say that a lot, but what I mean by that is we have expectations of how things are supposed to look and be, and we become disappointed when it doesn't work out that way. But what if that's not the way it is supposed to be for us? What if there's something even better? And that's what I discovered this past year. But the first 2 years, I was in grief. And I think the hardest thing for me was that I felt like I had, once I became a widow, that my previous life faded away. After my husband's name was Mark, and after his passing, most of the relationships we had as a couple seemed just to vanish overnight. Friends we had traveled the world with and celebrated with and spent over a decade of our lives with just disappeared from my life. And at first I was confused and hurt, you know, thinking how could everyone abandon me during the worst time of my life? But then I realized those who loved me were lost too. They didn't know what to do or say because we were no longer on common ground. That's why I love what Mary does, because she's creating common ground for everyone. People that you can talk to and be in community with that you don't have to talk about it. You already know. You know how to support each other. You know how to be there for each other. You know how to celebrate life when you've been through loss. It's a strength. It's a blessing in a way. So for over 2 years, I was what I call the bridge. I was on a bridge between two worlds. I called it the widow's bridge. On one end was my old life, the one I could never go back to. On the other end was the new life that I couldn't yet imagine. Because the fog of grief covered my path and clouded my vision. But I took my time and I traveled slowly to keep my footing as best I could. And, you know, my prayer life was on steroids at that point. I talked to Jesus every day for hours. And when I was in that calm place, I could hear the guidance. I could hear that I was taken care of. I could hear that I was not forgotten. And when I let go of needing the people that I expected, like family and friends, the ones that I thought would be there for me when I needed them, when they weren't, at first I was really hurt, and then I was totally isolated because I was devastated in a way because I was so shocked. But like I said, they didn't know what to do. They hadn't had this experience. And so I learned to forgive that. They just didn't understand. And once I did that, I just kept walking the bridge. And I didn't know how long it would take to cross the bridge to my new life. Some days I could almost see the other side, but then I'd turn around and head back towards the past, toward the familiar, you know, like hoping I could return to my old life. But there was nothing there. My old life had disappeared. So all that was left was a bridge. But the widow's bridge was also a bridge of miracles. I didn't notice them at first. Once I started forgiving those that I felt had abandoned me and realizing they just simply didn't know what to do or to say, and that they were afraid too, and that they saw themselves in my position, and that scared them to death. And so it was easier to kind of avoid the situation or avoid my grief so they didn't have to feel that. And so once I forgave him for that, I began to have visitors on my bridge. Most were kind strangers who helped me on my journey. Mark's respiratory specialist, Fernando, he showed up at my front door a few days after the funeral. And he didn't say, you know, I'm here for you. He said, what can I do to help? And so for 2 months, he sorted, organized, and cleared out two garages and a private storage room my husband had full of classic cars and tools and trailers and machinery and 30 years of projects. It was overwhelming because, I'm sorry, I have no idea what to do with all that stuff or even where to begin or what the value of any of it was. And so he took care of all of that for me. He worked full-time as a respiratory specialist, and here he was showing up at my doorstep every moment he had free to help me clear it out, and it took quite a while. And then there was Chris, a potential buyer for one of my husband's cars. And he happened to be a home builder, and he came to my rescue to repair and remodel my bathroom after it was damaged by a massive water leak and no one else would take the job. And then my financial advisor, my accountants, my real estate agents and attorneys, they all helped me with all these to navigate through all of this. And then a nurse from the hospital mailed me a letter letting me know that two people gained their eyesight because of Mark's organ donation. And even the coffee barista where I used to get my coffee, she drew funny faces in the cream of my coffee to make me laugh. So there were morning miracles every day, and with each miracle, I took one more step across the widow's bridge. And so I know we have a limited amount of time, but I just want everyone to know that it's a journey, and it's a bridge between where you are now and where you want to be. And there is help. And the kindness of strangers will show up. God shows up in the faith. You know, you've heard this many times. God is in every stranger that crosses our path, there to help us if we'll allow it. And on the 4-year anniversary of Mark's passing is when I actually wrote the chapter for this book. And now my life is more beautiful than I could ever have imagined. The void left by loss was fertile ground to bring in something fresh and new, and I've experienced, truthfully, more happiness and success and connection and excitement and love than ever before in my life. That doesn't feel, I never in a million years would ever felt like I would ever be here again. And not only that, but better than before. Because if we can open our heart and let God guide us, let Jesus be your friend, they're there to the help is there. And there are other people that have common ground with you that are there for you also. And just let others just pay attention to the little things that are happening every day in your favor. For me, a new man's entered my life who understands my loss and will be married in November. And the bond of love we share is held on common ground because it's no coincidence. His wife passed away a few days before Valentine's Day, and my husband passed away 2 days after. They passed away just 1 week apart. We did not know each other. He lived in another state. So no matter where you are in life or how devastating your grief has been, don't listen to the fear. Focus on the little morning miracles each day brings and trust the bridges leading you to a life more beautiful than the one you left behind.
Okay. Kathy, what's the name of your new book again?
So the book is called Turning Point Moments, True Inspirational Stories. Yes, Turning Point Moments.
Uh-huh.
It's on Amazon.
Okay.
And
True Inspirational Stories about creating a life that works for you?
Correct.
Is that it? Okay.
Yes. And it will show it's compiled by Christine Closer because there's 41 authors from 8 different countries that have contributed to the book. And it talks about all different types of challenges that we face in our lives. And it's real people who've navigated through dark times to show you how to take the path of healing, hope, and new possibilities.
What would you say to our audience was your greatest challenge after your husband passed?
Wow. I think for me, I just felt like I was in this fog of grief, and it felt like I was drowning, and it was so hard. It lasted so long. I've been through grief before with loss of other family members and things.
Mm-hmm.
But this one just seemed to, it just felt like I felt like I was walking through mud up to my knees. It was just this heavy feeling. That to me was a bit scary, truthfully, because I felt like I would never get out of that.
Okay. Another a question that I have. What advice would you, some of the widows lost their spouse during that pandemic, so it's still new, a year or two, more. What would you tell them at this particular time based on what you went through? What encouragement that you would give them? I know you said a lot of good things already, but what something that they could really hold on to that you could give to them, encourage them right now?
So just know that the grief of losing a spouse is one of the greatest griefs you'll ever experience. And bless your hearts, you lost your spouse in the middle of this craziness, which just adds even more to what you're already going through. So my advice would be take extreme care of yourself. And truthfully, I would say don't listen to the news. Get off of social media as far as listening to all the rhetoric and all of that. You need no more stress in your life, and there's nothing you can do about any of that right now. You need to focus on you. Do your whatever works for you, whether it's prayer, meditation, mindfulness, get out in nature. Eat as healthy as you can. I know when you're in grief, some people don't want to eat and some want to eat everything in sight. I was an eating everything in sight person. But do your best to at least eat healthy, as healthy as you can. Drink lots of water. Get out in nature. And journal. Like, journal your true feelings. If you're mad at God, if you're mad at your sister, if you're mad at, just write it all out on paper. Because, and then you can shred it. Burn it, whatever you want to do. But get it out of your system, because the emotions that you're carrying need to get out, or they can become illness in your body. You really need to release and cry when you feel like crying. Don't apologize for it. Just take extreme care of yourself and let the world take care of itself right now. I don't know if that helps, but...
That was wonderful. Getting back to something that you said about the moaning miracles on the widow's bridge, that you were you made a comment about crossing the bridge. It was it was difficult crossing the bridge, but when you got there, you had a new life. Go over that little piece again about. Course, a few minutes.
Okay. So when your life changes so dramatically, because it's a shock to the system. It's a shock to your body. It's a shock to your soul, because most of the time it's not even expected. Sometimes, even though it is, it's still a shock, even though you see it coming, like I did. I mean, for those 4 months, I knew the possibilities. It's still indescribable to anyone who hasn't been through it. They will never get it. And so that's why it's important when you're on the bridge, as you start your walk, find new friends, find fresh faces, find new things to do. You need those things to help you get up every day, to help you move forward. Because the bridge may be shorter or longer. Everyone is different. That's the other thing. Everyone's bridge is different, and it's shorter or longer. There's no right bridge. Your bridge is your bridge. And know that, what I used to do is I would visualize when I'm on the bridge sometimes. I actually started thinking of the bridge, and it was over this river. And and I couldn't go back. The gate on the other end that I came through was closed. There was no going back. Even though I tried a few times to go back that direction, hoping things might be the same, you can't. It's not going to be the same. Everything you're going to do in your life now, which is, in a way, you're going to see it's good. When you get to the other side of the bridge, you're going to see all the gifts and everything that you've learned through this experience and the amount of compassion and love that has increased in your life and in your heart is unimaginable at this point. But trust the bridge is there. It's a sturdy bridge, and Jesus built it, and Jesus is there to talk to you. I would go across the bridge and imagine him next to me, and we would have conversations. And he let me be mad, and he let me cry, and he said, the bridge is sturdy, just take your time. And as you start to, there will be a point where you'll get more than halfway, and you probably don't want to hear this, but you'll probably try still to turn back. But just know it's okay. It's okay to have those days where you just feel like you want to, you know, just punch bags or, you know, throw things around. You're going to have those days. Just know that. And it's okay. No one's judging you. God is not judging you. Jesus is not judging you. They're waiting to help you. So don't beat yourself up. It's okay. It's part of the process. That's what I'm saying. Get that energy out. Get that anger out. We all are angry about that. That's not what we chose. That's not what we wanted. It's okay. Anger is not a sin. Anger is just energy that needs to move through your body so that you can find that love again. That's all it is. In fact, here's part of my bioenergetics background that you read in my intro. Energy is simply, emotions are simply E, motion. Energy and motion. That's all it is. It's God's way of helping us see where we are in this moment. So when you feel anger, if you can just allow your body to feel it, take deep breaths, acknowledge it, in 90 seconds, it will dissipate. Emotions only stay in our body 90 seconds unless we keep thinking the thoughts we were thinking that caused those emotions to come up to begin with. So that's why I say it's important to get exercise and get that energy out, because you can do it through journaling, you can do it through exercise, you can do it through deep breathing work and meditation. All of that releases that energy. And so when you get to the other side of the bridge, there's going to be kind of a moment where you know you've arrived. What happened here, real quickly, what happened to me was, it was after the two-year anniversary of my husband's passing, I decided I was ready to get out and start kind of like interacting with people more and maybe, you know, go out to dinner with someone or do something. But I couldn't find anybody to go. I wanted to go on a trip. So I decided to sign up for a cruise. Well, guess what day the cruise left? March 1st, 2020. When I got off the ship.
Oh, COVID, that was the beginning of the pandemic.
Yes. I was on the ship when I got home. There was nobody on the freeway. There was nobody in the airport. And I was like, oh, my gosh. The whole world is shut down. So what happened to me when I was ready to get out in the world all went into, you know what happened. And I thought, okay. And I said, well, God, now what? Because I really am tired. You know, I really want to get out in the world and start interacting with people. So I just decided I was going to start dating anyway. And I did lots of video dating. We went out, you know, we did all, you know, distance dating and all this. I dated like 25 people, and I ended up finding my soulmate, you know, later, and 6 months later. And we're getting married in November. But we've been dating now for 2 years, of course. But it was just so funny. As soon as I was ready, that happened. And I just laughed at it. It's like, oh, my gosh, well, I'm just going to move forward. That's okay. It'll be modified. And so at that point, I realized I was back in joy again, because even that wasn't going to let me down. And I have to say that the grief I went through for that 2 years, the COVID being kind of quarantined like we were, wasn't as hard on me. That was one of the resilience that I got from the grieving process for 2 years by myself, because I was at home by myself all that time, is that when COVID happened, I was having an easier time than most people in the world because I had already strengthened myself in that way. So that was one of the gifts I got from that. But I kind of went over. Sorry, Mary. But
yeah.
Just
no, that's okay. We're
going to
go ahead.
Be able to cross.
But thank you.
You will get there. You will get there.
Exactly. Thank you so much, Kathy, for coming on our show tonight. And like I say, I'm sure the ladies enjoyed your testimonies. And I am going to go ahead and purchase your book. It's on Amazon. I'm going to get that for the library for the widows here when we get back in again. We start because our meeting point is my home. I have a large sunroom where we meet. But we haven't done it since the pandemic. So, but I'm going to get that book and put it in our library so, you know, someone can look at it and maybe they want to purchase it themselves as well.
Okay. Oh, and just to let your audience know, it's on Kindle right now for another week or so for 99 cents. Some of the ladies read on Kindle. It's an inexpensive way to get the book if they're interested.
Oh, okay. All right. Wonderful. Okay. Well, thanks again. Our time is up. And I said, whenever you want to come back on our show again and talk about some other things or any more books that you're going to be writing and so forth, please do. You're always welcome.
Thank you, Mary.
Yes. And once again, congratulations on your new love and your wedding in November. May God bless you with the new love.
Thank you, Mary.
And everyone,
blessings
thanks
to
again
everyone.
For tuning in again to our talk show. This is the end of it, and I'll be back in the month of August. Just pray that Sheila and I will have the time, the rest that we need, and just pray for us, and I hope that all is well with you. Go out and enjoy yourself, travel, have fun, and we'll talk again the first Tuesday in August. Have a good night. Be blessed. And Kathy, I'll be in touch.
There is God. He is alive and well. And he reigns supreme over everything. He is the God of all flesh. He is the God that created everything by the word of his power. And so we give God praise. And we give God honor. And we give God glory. Somebody raise up a praise and shake this place real quick. Yeah, yeah. Hallelujah. The song says, there is love that is like no other. There is strength that'll pull you through. There is God standing in your corner. There is nothing, nothing he cannot do. There is grace that has no measure. There is mercy that has no end. There is life for you. There is joy and pleasure. There is God. He's your closest friend. Everybody say, mercy, mercy.
joy and certitude. There is God. He's your closest friend. Everybody say,
there is, there is.
Raise it up, say,
there is.